to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
No, it's not James Edwards. You have Winston Smith tonight. It is my pleasure and my privilege to be here at the helm of the CSS Political Cesspool. I want to extend my thanks, my gratitude to Pastor John Weaver for coming on the broadcast on such short notice. He gave us a fabulous hour. This hour, we're welcoming to the Political Cesspool our, how shall we call him, our honorary co-host. Reverend Ted Pike has been on the Political Cesspool more times than any other guest, and he never fails to deliver. Ted Pike is the director of the National Prayer Network, which is a Christian conservative watchdog organization. He's a minister. He's appeared on more than 550 radio and TV talk shows since August 2004. His mission is to educate the public about the danger to free speech by anti-hate laws. Reverend Pike is the primary opponent for the against the Anti-Defamation League, I should say, and he has done the yeoman's work in protecting us from the reach of federal hate crimes legislation. So with that, it's my pleasure to welcome to the Political Cesspool Reverend Ted Pike. Reverend, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Winston. It's always a pleasure.
I hope so, because you're on a lot, and we want it to be a pleasure for you. Reverend Pike, it hasn't been that long ago that a video went viral, and it was, shall we say, blasphemous. It was done in Israel, and it pretty much mocked Jesus Christ. Have you any thoughts on that video?
Yes, I just sent out an email alert about this. In fact, there have been several very blasphemous comedy videos aired on private television in Israel, but very much enjoyed and appreciated by a large segment of the Israeli population. There's a lot of laughter around these videos as they are aired, and participation is good in Israel, where, of course, Jesus Christ is not appreciated for everything he gave to humanity, including his own life. But this particular video is only about three minutes long, and it there's a scantily clad girl in a bikini and a stuffed monkey, and basically this girl wants to inform the monkey that Jesus was a great enemy of Israel, and that he wanted to, his greatest crime, in fact, was trying to convert Jews to Christianity, and for this he was worthy of death. She is insulting, uses vile language concerning people who Jews, I should say, who actually intermarry with Goyim. She calls them Goyim and says this is a disgrace and something that is intolerable. The video that ends with this little gorilla play acting like he's being crucified. And so she hammers nails into his hands, and he screams in agony and so on, very foolishly. I think, of course, it should be taken off of YouTube. I don't know whether it's still up or not, but it's... last time we checked, it had more than 90,000 who had already watched it. There's another video was up a year or so ago, and it is just as vile, holding up Jesus to ridicule. The skit says that Jesus was so absolutely fat he couldn't even waddle out into public, much less be involved in a national ministry and do all the things he said he did, and he was crucified. This video begins with the statement that every night we deny something the Christian church tells you. It says that John the Baptist was sexually intimately involved, not in he fondled Mary Magdalene, let's put it that way, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary was not really a virgin, but at the age of 15, she got pregnant from her classmate, and her parents wanted to put her in a monastery, and she got pregnant, and then the men gathered around her and repeatedly raped her in a soccer field. It says Mary spent a hot night with the Canaan soccer team, and it concludes by saying, "Don't believe the Christian church." And the text for this video says that the audience is clapping and cheering wildly. So that gives you some kind of an index of the virulently anti-Christian contempt that exists toward the founder of Christianity in Israel today.
Can you imagine what would happen if some Christian organization or some minister produced videos like this, only with the roles reversed, if he made a mockery of Zionism or Judaism like these videos did to Christianity? What do you think would happen to that guy?
Well, I start this article by pointing out that the ADL is instant to scream anti-Semitism and hate crime, particularly against those who criticize Judaism. And the reach of the ADL, of course, goes worldwide. ADL also will help inaugurate hate crimes prosecutions for those who even criticize Islam. In fact, I point out that Dr. Frederick Tobin, who is a renowned Holocaust reductionist researcher, he narrowly escaped being actually extradited from Australia and sent to Germany for imprisonment under the ADL's German hate laws because of a charge of anti-Semitism. He had criticized Judaism. So ADL is always very sensitive to pick up on the slightest aspersions or imaginary aspersions against Judaism. In fact, just as a few weeks ago, a month ago, Glenn Beck lost his position at Fox News because ADL and other Jewish organizations, including some 600 rabbis, particularly Reform rabbis, claimed that he was borderline anti-Semitic just for calling his worst enemies Nazis and referring to abortion as a Holocaust. The idea, the modern idea of ADL and these Jewish supremacists is that these are privileged terms. These are virtually copyrighted terms now, Holocaust, Nazi, and so on, that only the Jews can use freely. And it's almost an anti-Semitic hate crime to use them in an unauthorized way. I'm sure that doesn't sound logical, but that's the kind of flimsy and paranoid the reaction which ADL and SPLC and the Jewish attack group,
okay,
how they respond to...
Reverend Pike, we have to go to a break.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
No, not James Edwards, but Winston Smith. My pleasure to be here tonight at the helm of the CSS political cesspool, talking with Reverend Ted Pike, honorary co-host of the political cesspool, and our go-to guy on all things Zionist. We're talking about some blasphemous videos that Israel have been produced in Israel and widely distributed. They have gone viral on YouTube, and they make a mockery of all that is sacred within Christianity. Reverend Pike, please finish your thought that you had started.
Well, I point out in this recent article, which is at truthtellers.org, that these modern manifestations of mockery and blasphemy of Jesus Christ are really nothing new in Orthodox Talmudic Judaism. In fact, there's a book which has been extant in Judaism probably for, I would say, at least 1,000 years, if not more, like 1,500 years. Could be even longer than that. Nobody knows exactly how long, but this book is called the Toldot Jeshu, or the Life of Jesus. It's also called the Gospel of Jesus. You can find this small booklet in the Judaic section of the Library of Congress, if anybody is skeptical, but it contains absolutely unmentionable blasphemies against Jesus Christ. The Toldot Jeshu says that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a hairdresser, and a certain soldier by the name of Joseph Pandera had sex with her, and Jesus was the offspring, and they called him Jeshu, not Yeshua, which is the proper Hebrew term for Jesus, but Yeshu, and Yeshu means may his name and memory be blotted out. And so when Jews today use the word Jesu instead of Yeshua, they're basically saying, may his name and memory be blotted out. By the way, the first video we were talking about tonight uses the name Jeshu, and all the Jews know exactly what's being said. So you see there the tremendous hatred within traditional Judaism for Christ, thinly veiled, but very real instead. Anyway, this book, Toldot Jeshu, which was considered canonical practically by Jews for hundreds and hundreds of years. In fact, in the introduction to the version which is in the Library of Congress, the editor, Solomon Bennett, says that the Toldot Jeshu is still believed as literally as Christians believe the New Testament. Now, that was written in 1823, two centuries ago, but it shows that for at least a millennia, the Jews had comforted themselves with this parody, blasphemous parody about the life of Christ. Anyway, it says that when Jesus was a young man, even a youth, he was so despised and so ill-mannered that the Sanhedrin got 300 trumpets and blew them and announced to the whole nation that he was a bastard and was deserving of punishment and so on. But Jesus was a magician, this book says. He wormed his way into the temple and got the magical formula, the incantation for using the divine name of God, the Tetragrammaton, it's called, by which you can actually create the universe. And so through sorcery, the Toldot says Jesus was able to conjure the nature and do all kinds of miracles and even raising the dead and so on, but all through the power of Satan. And the Toldot says that this kind of charlatanry on the part of Jesus would have continued except for the hero, Judas Iscariot, who resisted Jesus and engaged in him in an aerial battle. They both went up into the sky and battled for dominion as Judas was attempting to dethrone Jesus, cast him to earth, and to bring an end to his apostasy. And it says, Jesus uttered the great name, and a wind came and placed him between the heaven and the earth. Then Judas also uttered the same, and a wind came and placed him in the firmament of heaven. And but it says when Judas saw that he was not able to put a stop to the exploits of Jesus, he pissed upon Jesus, and they both became unclean and fell to earth. And so the Jewish leaders, according to this account, wisely sentenced Jesus to death. And so they stoned Jesus. They used all the Talmudic methods of killing him, which are enumerated in the Talmud, and which includes pouring boiling lead down into his stomach. And problem was the Toldos Jeshu says that Jesus had conjured. He put a hex on all the trees, and none of them were able to hold him up for crucifixion. So it says Judas saw that no tree would receive him, and he said to the wise men, "See the heart of this bastard, for he's enchanted all the trees so as not to receive him." But he says, "Behold, there is in my garden the stalk of a great cabbage. I will go and bring it, and it will receive him." And the wise men said, "Go, do as you have spoken." And Judas agreed and brought the stalk, and Jesus was hanged upon the cabbage. So he was crucified upon a cabbage. His dead body was impaled on the cabbage. And then it said they buried the bastard in the place where they had stoned him. And then in the middle of his night, his disciples came and mourned over his body. And then the next morning came, so they took Jesus, since he was out in the cabbage patch, they used the body of Jesus as a dike to vent the water around the irrigation coming in to water the cabbages. And he was used like dirt there to root the water in the right direction. Then it says the rabbis of Israel came to Judas' garden, his cabbage patch, and pulling Jesus' dead body from the mire, they tied him to the tail of a horse, and they drew him and brought him before the face of the queen and said, "Behold, this is the man of whom you said that he has ascended to the firmament." And so they brought him by dragging him, and when they did so, the hair of his head was torn off. And it says, "Wherefore the Christian priests now shave their hair in the middle of their heads to remember the words of Jesus." And so the Toldos ends by relating that despite the deception of Jesus, his wicked disciples went throughout the world creating the false propaganda that Jesus was God and had risen from the dead. But the wise men of Israel saw this evil, and it was very evil, it says to him. It was an abomination done in Israel. Now, ADL is quick, as I pointed out in my latest e-alert, to loudly scream anti-Semitism, intolerance, incivility when any kind of criticism of this kind of rabbinic literature and the Talmud itself goes out, especially on the Internet. But the ADL never criticizes the Toldos Jeshu. There's not been a word of criticism by ADL of either of these blasphemous sitcoms, skits that have been viewed on Israeli TV with great appreciation by the Israeli populace. There you see, of course, the supreme arrogance, but hypocrisy. Jesus called these Pharisees hypocrites, children of the devil, and that tradition that Jesus so accurately described 2,000 years ago, that malignancy of Jesus' hatred and hatred of Christianity, unfortunately, is very alive in Israel today.
We have to go to a break, Reverend Pike. Hang on. We'll be right back, folks. I'm talking to Reverend Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to tonight's broadcast of the Political Cesspool. I'm Winston Smith, and I'm talking with Reverend Ted Pike of National Prayer Network. You can find out more about Reverend Pike and his work by going to www.truthtellers.org. Again, that's www.truthtellers.org. You can find a wealth of information on all things Zionist, and you can even see some photographs of Reverend Pike's artwork and read some of his poetry. I will say this as something of an art, not exactly a connoisseur, but I have a certain artistic appreciation. Reverend Pike and I have talked about it. But he's a darn fine artist. His sculptures are very striking, very arresting, and I encourage you to go take a look there at www.truthtellers.org. All right, Reverend Pike, we're talking about the blasphemous Israeli videos and other things that we've witnessed in the past couple of weeks. And we've established that this sort of mockery of all things sacred to Christians is standard fare in Israel. I had my question here. What was it?
Well, the fact of the matter is that Israel does have an agenda, a conspicuous agenda of allowing mockery and persecution of Christianity. And over the years, especially the last 5 years, there have been very concerted attacks on Christians, discrimination, trashing of Christian rights, as well as Christian churches and so on in Israel. And in fact, there are Messianic Jewish Christians in Arad and other sections of Israel, particularly southern Israel, who are in daily, literally daily, are being harassed and discriminated against, fined, given all kinds of obstacles to the free exercise of their religious freedoms in Israel. See, what's going on today is that there is a real resurgence, a very great resurgence of hard-line, old-fashioned, Christ-hating Judaism. I mean, the veneer of tolerance and all this ecumenical nonsense about Jesus being some great leader, that's no longer being tolerated in Israel. Jeshu is the common word for Jesus, which means may his name and memory be blotted out. And particularly among the ultra-Orthodox Jews, that's the Jews that are inhabiting most of these settlements in the West Bank and elsewhere, they are very, very militant against Christians. And at truthtellers.org, again, I have a number of articles describing the blatant racism, the blatant anti-Christianity that is coming out of this burgeoning ultra-Orthodox, old hardline Judaism in Israel today. That does bring up the question we were talking about at the break. How literally is the Talmud and its hatred of Gentiles and hatred of Christ taken among Jews today? How literally is the Toldoth Jeshu that I quoted from, how literally is that taken today? The truth is that in Israel, there is an expanding movement, particularly among young people, to go back to the very bigoted and narrow and racistic traditional orthodoxy of their ancestors. And that includes a literal belief that Jesus is in hell. As the Talmud says in Treatise Sanhedrin, he's in hell wallowing in boiling semen, and that his disciples are worthy of being killed. All that kind of stuff is believed literally in Israel today. And a number of rabbis, Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox rabbis, are coming out with unprecedented statements concerning the right of the IDF forces, the right to kill Arabs, even Arab children, who are a threat to the safety and future of Israel.
You mean there was a brand of Judaism that was even more bigoted and more intolerant than what we see today?
You see, in times of, over the last century, Judaism has very greatly assimilated, especially in America. We have suburban Jewry going to plush, luxurious, well-funded reform synagogues, conservative synagogues, and so on. And even more than half of young Jewish men are now marrying Gentiles. And this is considered not only a disgrace, but a form of genocide by the Orthodox Jews, who say this is destroying the genetic integrity of God's chosen people. So in times of assimilation and compromise and so on, almost all religions have a tendency to hark back to the legalism, the literalness of the old original forms of these religions. We certainly see that in Islam, and we saw that in Iran 20, 30 years ago when the Shah was deposed, and instead of a moderate Islam, the Ayatollah Khomeini came in, setting the stage for radical Islam and literal Islam. And same thing is in true of Judaism. In modern times, we're seeing a resurgence in Israel of going away from the secular traditions of the modern Zionist culture back to a hyper-orthodoxy with all the bigotry and narrowness that goes along with it.
It wasn't that long ago that I saw a video that showed, it talked about an organization in Israel that people can call. They can call this organization and rat out Jews who are involved romantically with Arabs. And those people, the people who are ratted out, they can suffer some pretty serious repercussions if this organization presses it. The fact is that Jews they demand racial homogeneity, whereas for other ethnicities they demand miscegenation. Is that a correct statement?
Well, of course, there's a great double standard here. In the United States, the Jews are only about 1.5% of the population, but ADL, Anti-Defamation League, acts like the Jews are the majority here and have most of the rights. They're given special rights and protection under the hate laws. They're given special rights in culture, special rights in Congress, special rights in government, special rights to gather around in vastly disproportionate numbers in the media, in the cabinet of presidential administrations, and so on. And yet, the fact is, they are the tiniest minority of the American people. And yet, they act as if they have a right to strip us of our Christian symbol. They have a right to take down our Christmas trees. They have a right to protest any kind of involvement of Christianity in government and so on, as if they are going to be offended by this, and there'll be some kind of a civil rights abuse unless Christianity gets out of the public forum. But in Israel, of course, the Jews can completely dominate all aspects of the politics, religion of the country. And you have a minority there now of about 1.5% of Christians. It used to be 30% Christians in Israel. Now, because of all this persecution, it's down to about 1.5% as a result of all kinds of discrimination by the state of Israel against Christians. So, in a word, Israelis are free, according to the ADL, to completely have a Jewish-oriented society, but in America, Christians are not free to have a Christian-oriented society. Instead, we have to actually give Jews the primary role of deciding what is tolerant and intolerant.
In other words, they treat Christians in America the way they treat Christians in Israel.
Yeah, that's pretty close to it.
You mentioned that that they simply assume that they have the right to do all this. They simply assume that that they are perfectly within their divine right to take over, to lord over other cultures, other nations. Why do the majority let them get away with it? What is it about Americans that looks at Jewry and says, oh, you know, you come over here, you can do what you want, we will accommodate you, in fact, we will commit suicide for you? What is it about us that does that?
Well, the idea is very deeply impressed upon peoples in the Western Christian-oriented societies that Jews are a very special people. They are God's elect. They are God's chosen people, the apple of his eye. And they have also been victims of terrible bigotry, persecution, relentless persecution by Christians for the last 2,000 years. And therefore,
Time to go to a break, Reverend Pike. Sorry.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Check jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
No, it's not James Edwards. It's Winston Smith. Winston Q. Smith. Don't forget it. All right, folks. It is Winston Smith. I'm here on the political cesspool with Reverend Ted Pike, honorary co-host and director of National Prayer Network. I encourage you to go to www.truthtellers.org and search out the vast wealth of information there on all things Zionist. You can purchase very excellent books. You can download videos. If you have a question about Zionism and international Jewry, the place to go to get the straight story on it is www.truthtellers.org. Folks, we are indebted to Reverend Ted Pike for his tireless work on behalf of freedom of speech and protecting Christians from ADL-directed hate crimes legislation. Reverend Pike, I just wanted to say that and to personally thank you. On air for all the work that you've done on behalf of American Christians.
Well, thank you so much, Winston. Actually, I couldn't do this without literally more than 100 talk show hosts putting me on the air over the last 5 or 6 years, getting the word out and many of them having the courage to let me speak the whole truth as I'm doing here tonight.
Yeah, we're pretty darn important, aren't we? All right. Before we had to break for the last segment off, you were talking about this unreasonable and foolish and suicidal guilt complex that American Christians have regarding Israel. Please continue that.
Yes. Of course, the Christian religion is derived from the Hebrew religion and the experiment which God started with Abraham and Moses, the law-giving of the Pentateuch and the prophets and all of that, that is an illustrious tradition undergirding Christianity. But the truth of the matter is that the true prophets, the true heroes of Judaism, of the old Hebrew religion, were always a minority. And this propaganda is out that we owe this tremendous debt of gratitude to the Jews for what they did in laying the foundation of Christianity. Well, Jeremiah said, I alone am alive here, and they seek my life to take it away. I mean, at all of the crucial periods of Jewish history, there have often been only a small, there's only Elijah on Mount Carmel, there's only Jeremiah, there's only Ezekiel, and in Babylon, there's just always this tiny minority, and yet we have the idea that Jews are worthy of great indulgence and thankfulness on the part of Christians. And the Jews have also encouraged the idea that Christianity is the cause of bitter anti-Semitism, of exile of the Jews from something like 50 nations over the past 2,000 years, and of course leading to the great Holocaust and incineration of millions of Jews. And so what the Jewish mentality encourages is us to believe that we must give reparations. It's payback time. We must give reparations to atone for our great sins against Jewish people. And so that filters down into the public consciousness that, okay, so the Jews control the media. Well, they've suffered so long, they deserve to control the media. They control Congress. Well, they deserve to because they have been they've been persecuted for millennia. Let them have a disproportionate role in Congress. They control the presidency and cabinet positions and vital authority positions in the government. Okay, you see how this works? The same goes for the hate laws. Yeah, only the Jews and certain minorities are protected under the federal hate laws and under state hate laws. Nobody else has any protection. Okay, they've suffered so much, just give them that. And so across the board, at every level, in every international situation even, we have a tendency as Christian conservatives to say, the Jews have suffered so much, let's just pull back and let them have special rights immunity from criticism which is not afforded to the rest of humanity. The trouble is, you know, if I had a 3-year-old child and I treated him the way we treat Jews and Israelis, with absolutely unconditional approval and endorsement and indulgence, giving them anything they wanted, that child would turn into a spoiled brat. He would turn into a Nero if I kept doing that through adolescence. And yet we make it fetish. We make it a religious scruple to treat Israel and matters Jewish in a way that will make monsters of any human being if they are warped in that way. And that, in a word, is what has happened over the last century. The Bible very, very clearly, and more than two dozen clearest verses, which we do list at truthtellers.org, says that the Jews as a nation cannot return to Palestine except in obedience to Jesus Christ and in faith and righteousness, justice, and mercy. And yet we have indulged that as Christians, saying, well, we're going to overlook what the Bible says in order to make Israel a safe haven for Jews from persecution. Well, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu, a couple of years ago, he said that Israel is now the least safe place in the world for Jews to live. And so they have destroyed God's law, and the Christians have gone along with it. So it's a malignancy. It's a theological perversion, and in fact, it's a cult of Christianity to give. Christian Zionism is a cult of Christianity, giving unconditional blessing and military and moral support to Israel.
You mentioned Benjamin Netanyahu. Coming this month, coming in May, he's going to be in America at the IPAC conference, and within days of that, there's going to be a flotilla of 20 ships heading towards Gaza. What have you to say about those issues?
Yes, we have several opportunities to dramatize our unholy alliance with Israel coming up next month, in the second half of the month. Number one, there's going to be another flotilla, this time with an estimated 20 ships, coming from nations of Europe, including Turkey, who are going to try to get through to Gaza. And this is really giving the Israeli military and government hives. They don't know what to do. They are pleading with governments of Europe to forcibly prohibit those ships from sailing. But that will be a high-profile publicity stunt, which I will be writing about, and I hope it will get a lot of people thinking. And what happened last year, of course, was the Free Gaza Flotilla was attacked by the Israeli Navy, and something like 10 Turks were killed, and something like 50 people were shot by the Israelis, giving Israel the worst publicity it's ever had, I think, in history. But at nearly the same time, in New York, there's something like 100, more than 100 liberal organizations that are sponsoring a massive demonstration and a conference there. And lo and behold, feisty Helen Thomas, the Washington premier reporter who has criticized ADL and criticized Zionism, will be a featured speaker toward the end of May. And that is May 21st to 24th. It corresponds with the visit of Prime Minister Netanyahu to the APAC conference. And the conference is called Move Over APAC. And the web address is moveoverapac.org. I would actually encourage Christian patriots to take part in that conference. Let's just not let the liberals, the baby killers, and the pro-sodomite liberals speak the truth about Israel. Let's get some Christians down there with some signs, too, and some participation. And very, very much encourage us to get out and bang the drums, give publicity to both of these very powerful media events next month.
People might know what IPAC is. Stands for American Israeli Political Action Committee. What can you tell us about IPAC?
IPAC is probably even more powerful than ADL. That could be debated, but the Historians and scholars Mearsheimer and Walt, of course, wrote their epic, monumental, definitive treatise against the Israeli lobby. That was the title of their book several years, again, causing great consternation to ADL and the Zionists. But in Congress, in the White House, in Washington, D.C., the power of the Israeli lobby is supreme, absolutely supreme. Nobody in Washington, from the president on down through both houses of Congress, and certainly throughout the political structure of America, dares criticize Israel to any degree without courting a political disaster. And that's why Helen Thomas is such a treasure. Here she is, 90 years old. She doesn't have an awful lot to lose. She can speak out.
Reverend Pike, we're out of time. Sorry, Reverend Pike. Folks, that's it for tonight's broadcast of Political Cesspool. Thank you for joining us. Thanks to Reverend Ted Pike, and thanks to Pastor John Weaver. Join us again next week, folks.